All right. Well, our last session together we had last night, sort of the marriage ideal. Jake said, kind of, hey, this is what marriage is. Like, this is a football. Let's get back to the basics. You know, marriage is a man and a woman. What is a man? What is a woman? Had the marriage ideal. This morning we had the marriage ingredients. And this last session is the marriage magic. You ready for the marriage magic? Who better to give this talk? And what is magic? What are we talking about here? That has a lot of connotations, but I'll explain. So just a little window into my marriage. I said, Letha, we have this marriage conference coming up and I'm speaking. And she's like, you can't. And I said, why? And she's like, we have a terrible marriage. And I said, well, if our marriage is terrible, then no one has a good marriage. And that's probably a little window into our marriage. Like, I'm the everything is awesome, like Lego movie, everything is awesome, life is great, you're my best friend. And she's like, it's terrible, everything's terrible, half empty, half full type of thing. And so somewhere in between is probably the truth. But that statement, you can't speak at the marriage. I mean, just think about it, guys. How many of you want to be me right now or Jake? Like, we have to get up here and talk. All right, start, get out your notepad, take notes. None of us, right? We all feel that. So I'm actually not going to give the talk that I'm good at. I'm giving the talk that I need. All right. So this is me saying, hey, I'm in this with you guys. Like, we're trying to figure this out together, and I'm gonna share some things. Last night during Jake's talk to the men, the whole time I had this thing that I'm wrestling through in my life, marriage, family, an area of passivity that I struggle with. You know, during the whole the message to the women, I'm like tuned out because I'm thinking about my own struggles as a man. And this morning, I'm like, hey, Letha, let's talk about this because we're going back to the, you know, for the last session, but let's process last night. You know, we're gonna have a moment. And I'm like, what was the question? How can I be better in my role? Or what was the question? It was like, I just asked her, like, how can I better serve you or something? And you know her response? She goes, oh, brother. Don't try to pull this conversation on me. Like, don't try to do our homework together. We're not doing that. Oh, man. So how am I going to do this? This is a little disclaimer. This talk is more of an application of the biblical texts and scripture principles that Jake talked about. So this is the nature of this talk is not like let's just really get into more of the text. This is more of what this looks like lived out in our marriage, in our life. And so it's meant to kind of stir up some thoughts in your mind and heart as you guys leave as a couple and talk about this. So I listened to this weekly or daily show. It's called it's like Al Mohler. He's the president of a seminary, and he's got this show. It's like news and events from a Christian worldview. And listen, this guy's like listening to an encyclopedia as he's kind of talking about what's going on in the world from more of a kind of a Christian worldview, whatever. So it's like listening to an encyclopedia tell you the news. Like, it's not, he's not the guy that I want to learn about how to have a great marriage from. I'm sure he has a great marriage, but Fridays there's questions. People call in or write in questions. And this woman wrote in and she said, you know, I've been married 10 years. We have 3 boys, ages 9 down to 2. And the question was, how do you live a fruitful and flourishing marriage in the chaos of life? And I stopped and I'm like, oh, this will be interesting. Like, how's this guy? I listened to him for like the geopolitical history of what's happening in the Ukraine war. I don't listen to him for marriage advice, but I'm really curious. What's he going to say? And what he said was just landed with me. He said, life is complicated enough. You have three children in this highly modern age. Life is more complicated than it should be. So he acknowledged the complexity of raising children, having a marriage in this day and age. It's complicated enough. And here's his advice. Uncomplicate your life as often as you can. That's my marriage advice. Uncomplicate your life as often as you can. Why? He said, because you need to spend uninterrupted time together. Now, this bit of wisdom lands on a guy who, I am the king of chaos. I'm a mess. My life is a mess. This guy came over. He's like, hey, Mark, can I borrow this tool? And I'm like, sweet. Yeah, sure. Let me look for it. And I go into my workbench. It's just a mound of debris. And one of my boys had this whole experiment. He was, you know, had wood out and there's sawdust everywhere. And I'm looking for a Phillips screwdriver and I can't find it. I mean, it's just, I'm a mess. And I'm the king of chaos. So for me, a thing about my chaos is what happens is I lose things. I can't find things amidst the mess, right? And so I don't know if you guys have any of you guys this happened to you where you like lose something important? You can't find something important because it's just amidst the, you know, it's like a piece of clothing you want to wear and it's like buried somewhere, you know, some dirty, not even in the dirty clothes, because then you'd find it. It's somewhere, you can't find it. It's the pile of clothes or whatever it is. So I've lost some pretty important things in the chaos. One of the most important things I lost, I can tell tons of stories. The key fob that we couldn't find, and to replace those things, you ever tried to replace a key fob? It's like $200 or something like that. We were looking all over for this thing, and our son Jet was like 4 years old, and he left the water on outside. And so I walk out, and there's like our little tree, it's just spraying water. Who knows how many hours it's been on. So I go over to turn it off, and I look, and it's spraying the mulch. And the power of the spray had like pushed back the mulch, and buried under the mulch was my key fob. Little four-year-old just decided to bury our key fob and accidentally turned on the water, and we found it, right? We lost something important. But the most valuable thing we lost was we had been looking for Letha's wedding ring. One day she's like, I can't find my wedding ring, you know? And so we're looking for days, weeks go by, months go by, cannot find the wedding ring. One day, our little, I think probably at the time, maybe 5 or 6 year old son, Beck. Now Beck loved to, he's like a man, you know, so a little boy, he needs stuff in his pockets. You know, he needs his tools, he needs his Legos, he needs his action figures, and he was digging around and he couldn't find what he needed. And so he's like, you know how you pull the inside out, you know, like he pulls out his pockets, he's digging in there and he pulls it out. And we were even like on a hard surface and he pulls it out and all of a sudden we hear a ding, 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 the wedding ring. Right? The wedding ring had been in little Beck's pocket, right? He probably saw that, you know, on the nightstand. He's like, I need that, you know? So he just stuffed it in. Like, I could use that. So, wow, here's what happens. This is like, we lose things in the chaos. But here's the thing you have to look at your life when you think of the chaos of your life. Because everybody's life is chaotic. There's no point in comparing it to other people. Just think about your life. Your life is chaotic. It's not simple. It doesn't matter if you just got married last week or if you've been married a long time. Doesn't it feel like, yeah, there's a lot going on? A lot of stressful things happening. Your life is complicated. And the problem is, in the midst of the chaos, you can lose something. And so the question is, what is the thing that you just cannot lose? You cannot lose it. I was thinking about this picture. for us. This was, we just got engaged, right? This is out on my uncle's farm somewhere near Cambridge, Iowa, just south of Ames. My grandfather had a farm out there, and we stole a park bench from the neighboring town, Huxley, and we put it out by this little creek, and we set up a mosquito net, me and my friends, and I took her on a pony ride. I grew up like riding ponies, and we had hitched up a pony cart, and we took her down this path, and I had set up this little dinner out there, and our friends snapped a picture. And this was like before social media, so this isn't posted anywhere. It's just, you know, snap a little picture. So there we are. And I think about, that's just kind of a picture of us just engaged, like our relationship is just getting started. Sometimes I look at that picture and I'm like, oh, the places we will go. Right? This 22-year-old Mark has no idea who he's marrying. We only dated for like 3 months. So he has no idea who he's marrying. We're getting married 4 months later, December of 1999. He has no idea the joys, the challenges. He's clueless. And I just think for us, we have to go back and look at that picture, whatever that picture is for you. Maybe there's no picture, it's just a memory. And then we see all the chaos. We look at our lives now and I'm like, oh, Mark, you have no idea, dude. You're gonna be like a business owner, a small business owner. You're gonna run a lawn mowing company. You're gonna, you know, be trying to lead a church. You're gonna have 6 kids. You're gonna have, you know, chaos everywhere. Our house, it looks like a used car lot. When people drive by, like, you selling cars around? There's like 10 cars, you know. All our kids have cars. We're in the teen years. One of my kids had 2 cars for a while. He had his Jeep and his truck for his business. And then, I mean, it is masculine. And they're all old, used Hondas. You know, Leith and I drive a 2003 Honda Odyssey. You know, you drive by, it's like, I mean, it's total chaos. My life is chaos. You know what we use for the football goal line between our yard? You know how we know at the goal line to the football? Because our backyard's like a football field, it's a kickball field, it's a baseball diamond, it's a whole thing. But our goal line was our neighbor's grass, because our grass is so beat up and weeds and it's terrible. And theirs is like perfectly maintained and manicured. And we're like, that's the goal line. All right, go deep. You know, it's a mess. Life is complicated. And this Mark has no idea what is about to happen. But he knows he's in love. And he knows he wants this woman. Now, I don't know what she's thinking about him. Sometimes she's like, we didn't marry for love. You know, anyway, that's a whole other thing. She married me because it was a good idea, right? So anyway, that's probably for another talk. I don't know. All right, so I think as we end, I want to end with this thought. Like, there's something you cannot lose in your marriage. And in order to not lose that thing, you're going to have to take inventory of your life. And you're going to have to ruthlessly eliminate some of the things that you have brought in. Maybe it's activities, maybe it's attitudes, whatever it is, that has added unnecessary chaos to your life. And it's funny when you lose a key fob or wedding ring, not great, in the chaos, or a piece of clothing that you want, but if it's your relationship, And I'm telling you, I watch couples in their 40s and 50s, and I understand now why, when the kids leave the house, the husband and the wife look across the table and they say, "Who are you?" I'm in that season, teenagers, practices, driver's ed, like I'm an Uber service, all the stuff. It's my season of life, and I'm watching my peers like drop like flies. And they stop going to church. They withdraw from community. I want to share this scripture with you, Proverbs 24, 27. It says, "Complete your outdoor work and prepare your field. Afterward, build your house." What does this have to do with uncomplicating your life? What is this proverb saying? Here's what it's saying. Complete your outdoor work and prepare your field before you deal with your house problem. Now, what are the two things that you gotta have to survive? Like food and shelter, right? And so what this proverb is saying is like, outdoor work and building your house are two very important things, aren't they? Like, which do you choose? Do you prepare your field so you can have food and income? Or do you get to work on your house? What's your choice? And the proverb is saying, start with your field. Why? Because this is a proverb about priorities. Because in their culture, they could live in tents, right? So a tent is a temporary shelter. It's not gonna be great in the elements, storms, all those things, right? But it's not what you want, but it's acceptable, right? It's not desirable, but it's acceptable to live in a tent. But you gotta have income. You gotta have food to survive, and your tent's gonna be okay. In our day, it's like, hey, just get a cheap one-bedroom apartment and live in it and save some money, but focus on, right? Build a budget, like live within your means. That's what it's saying. Like, don't go out and get house poor. Don't go out and get a big old mortgage for a house you can't afford, right? You have to decide. Now, all of a sudden, you've brought this complexity into your life because all of a sudden, now we're working hard to pay for this mortgage. Do you see the wisdom of this? It's telling you a lot of your life comes down to priorities between a bunch of different important things. Once you get the necessities and secure an income, put food on the table, then now it's time to maybe start working on your house. Move out of your tent into your house. But that is life. You can't do everything. Jake said this last night. You can't do everything. I know there's pressure too. I know you feel the pressure, but you can't do it. You can't be an all-star mom and have a perfectly ripped or flat stomach. Men, you can't be an all-star dad and have a six-pack and be the top performer at work and a kid that excels at four sports and plays piano and gets straight A's and you eat dinner every night at the table. You can't do all those things. So life is about figuring out the order of things. Priorities. What is that word? Prior. Priorities, prior. What's prior mean? Like prior to this, here's what I was doing this morning, right? Before. What takes precedence before other things? So here's what I need. My life is a mess. It's very complicated. And Al Mohler steps in and is like, "Hey, Mark, uncomplicate your life." And for messy people like me, I don't want to do that because you know what? I don't like to throw things away. I like to keep them because they're all precious to me, right? They all have value to me. And so you know what I need? I need Marie Kondo to step into my life. You know this woman? Her book, The Life Changing. Now here's the title. Here's now all of a sudden the title of this talk will make sense to you. The Marriage Magic. Here's the title of her book, Marie Kondo. The Life Changing Magic of Tidying Up. The Japanese Art of Decluttering and Organizing. You know what messy people like me need? We need Marie to come in and like, oh, that's gone. That's gone. That's gone. And start throwing stuff away. Because if you want to, she knows the key to me enjoying the things I love is to get rid of the things I like. And so she's going to come in and start like, oh, that's got to go. I'm like, no, it can't. And she's like, okay, hang on to it for a second. Do you love it? I'm like, well, I like it. It's gone. And she starts like throwing stuff away. And then all of a sudden I'm like, no way. I lost that shirt. I love that shirt. She's like, see, the magic of tidying up. Isn't it great? Isn't it great? And this thing, Alyssa, can you tidy up my office? I mean, Alyssa's like, she's like Veritas's Marie Kondo. She just keeps us all in order. But okay, but for everything that I keep, there's something I have to throw. So here's what I want you to do. On a sheet of paper, I want you to make just two columns, okay? Here's your notes. Two columns. Now, on the left side, the left column is stuff to keep. The right column, stuff to throw. Got it? Stuff to keep. Stuff to throw. Now, for this section of this talk, the book of what we're gonna be talking about here in this session. Listen, I can't know what you should do. I can't know what you should keep and what you should throw. Because I'm not you. I don't know what it's like to be you. With your personality and the person you're married to, and So don't ask me what you should do. But I'm going to share with you some things that I am keeping and throwing and that we've had to keep and throw over the years of our marriage, okay? So this, what you're going to do is after I'm done sharing mine, you're going to spend some time writing your own list. And even as I'm talking, you can write down your own version of this or your own notes. You don't have to write down, you can, but you don't have to write down the things that I'm sharing with you. If you want to write these things down, to maybe it will jog your memory for what your list is going to be. You want to have two different lists, you know, Mark's version of this and then your own. That's fine, you can do it. But I want you to know that this, what I'm about to do is descriptive, not prescriptive. Does that make sense? I'm describing what our choices have been. I'm not prescribing telling you what your choices should be. Does that make sense? Okay, so maybe in this is kind of our wrestling through last night. Okay, what is the marriage ideal? What are the ingredients of our marriage? Okay, now this is kind of all the content applied to decluttering, getting back to the basics. All right, here it is. Mark's messy life. Lady Wisdom, Marie Kondo is going to make me throw some stuff away so I can find out what really matters. All right, on the left side, here's mine in no particular order. Stuff to keep. My spouse. Stuff to throw. Everyone else. That's number one. Maybe that one is in order. Okay, number two, stuff to keep. My actual spouse, stuff to throw, the spouse I want her to be. That was kind of the expectations thing. You're gonna crush them with your expectations. Don't want to destroy community, I want to build community. That was awesome. Okay, number three, stuff to keep, my job, stuff to throw, working after 4:30. I had to learn this. It took me years to learn this. that I always thought, you know, this, you know how my job, it's like, and a lot of you guys have, you know, men, women, you guys have the same job, similar in different arenas, but it's like, there's always work to do, right? It's not a clock out type of job. You know, there's always somebody that calls and, you know, their name comes up, and or it's for me early on, I said yes to speaking on every retreat and yes to doing every wedding. And I don't know if you've asked me to do your wedding, but it's like, it's hard. I only do like one or two a year. I mean, it's, I say no to a lot of things now. I say no to anything like, hey, it's 4:30, it's 4:45, it's 5 o'clock. It's, hey, can we meet? I get off work at this time. And it's like, sorry, I can't do it. And you're like, you're a pastor. What else do you do? You know, it's like, I can't. So that was something I had to throw, was all the stuff, that productivity that was going to happen after that time. All right. Number four, stuff to keep. Child number three. Stuff to throw. And this is a team thing. This is kind of, Letha, you're wondering, what is this one? Stuff to throw, Letha's nursing job. So this was a hard one, because I'm making like $35,000 on a pastor's salary, raising support, and we need her money. Like, she makes as much or more than I do working PRN. That's tough. You know, used to work out. I'd take, you know, Ava and Cameron. I got them at home, and she's able to work on my days off or arranging things. Kid number three comes, and we're like, this is a problem. What will our priority be? So that was a choice that we made. All right, number whatever. I don't actually have numbered on mine. It's just a list. This one is stuff to keep, our dog. Stuff to throw, our cats and our bunnies. Hey, Marie made me do it, right? It was tough. I didn't like the cats to begin with, but I came to love them, right? It was a very hard decision. I love the cats. You know, they were great while they lasted. They were great. Bunnies, they didn't freeze. We rehomed them. They were great. Didn't time around anyone's necks or anything. It was, they're safe. They're happy. We still get pictures from them. And their new home, it's, everyone's happy. The bunny, I don't know. But that was the decision we had to make. Here's what I've noticed. A lot of you young couples, like, people usually have a bunch of kids and then a dog, or they get a dog. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes your pets will add chaos to your life and keep you from actually having children. I've seen that. Careful with that. You think your dog is not a child. So be very careful. Your dog is not made in the image of God. Just be very careful with that one. We're in Iowa City. I've been to the vet, and I know how we think about our pets. Next one, stuff to keep, same bedtime. Stuff to throw, Thursday night football. Stuff to keep, Saturday game day, Monday night football. Oh, just kidding. It's like, there was one night I had to go to bed at the same time. Thursday night football. All right. This was one that Doug, the boatman's, Doug and Gene, you guys talk about this one a lot, going to bed at the same time. I learned this one from you, so thank you for that one. Next one, stuff to keep, school wrestling. Stuff to throw, club wrestling and weekend tournaments and placing at state. Here's the story. We're like mediocre athletes, right? We're like somewhat athletic, we're somewhat coordinated, but just look at us. Like, we're not going to produce professional athletes, right? And so I just like, hey, this is reality. We're not going to kill ourselves to get you on a podium, you know? So, and we have six kids. And so we decided early on, like, hey, you know, I started, you know, I was going to be an all-star dad. I was going to go to all their sporting events. You know, they tell the story like, dad never missed an event. My kids are going like, my dad came to one of my events one time. There's expectations, man. And we told our kids, all right, we just pretty quickly did the math. There were like six kids, okay? Anything times six, like I went to, you know, you start getting underwear for six kids. Like, oh yeah, no problem. I'll get you some socks and underwear. You go to the store, you're like, wait, $20 times six? And you need socks times six? And you need shoes times six? And, you know, we go through 16 dozen eggs a week because our kids are in the teen years and some of them are bulking because they're hanging out with Dermody. And and it's like, this is insane, right? So we told our kids, all right, kids, you're not doing club sports. And one of our kids is, you know, and here's the thing, you can do as many school sports as you want. You'll start when you're in seventh grade or whenever they offer it, right? And you can do whatever sports you want. We are only going to attend one of those sports. So you pick the one and we'll be there. But I sat one track tournament. I was out there, it was April, like 40 degrees. I'm like, yeah, I never come back again. The most entertaining part of that was watching the hurdles, watching people trip. I mean, that was awesome. Like, that's worth the price of admission right there, watching some seventh grade boys like try to jump over those hurdles. I'm like, I'm coming back. I come for the hurdles and I don't watch my kids. We told our kids like, hey, logistics, this is not gonna work out. And Marie Kondo's like, what do you want? You gotta throw something. And, you know, after Beck, he wanted to do wrestling and he wanted to do club wrestling. Big game, one of the best clubs in Iowa. I'm like, sweet, get a job because we can't afford that. Like, we're trying to get paid for underwear and socks. Like, we can't afford club wrestling. Dad, the coaches want me to do the tournaments, man. There's this big tournament. And we're like, sorry, dude. Like, we're not a tournament family. So if you're going to, you know, if you're going to be good, like God's going to have to, you're going to have to, you know, he put all his own money. He went to club wrestling. He did all this stuff, but he didn't do the tournaments. And his senior year, he made the state tournament. And it was so cool. He got a win and, you know, and he went into his next one and he lost and he missed the podium. And you know what the coaches were like? And the idea was, Beck, you're wrestling against kids that have been wrestling since they were little kids and they went to all those tournaments and you missed the podium because you didn't start soon enough. Here's a question. Did we fail our son? Have any of you guys met Beck? That's your answer. We missed the podium. Got a great son. He knows what a dollar's worth. Knows what it takes to grind, work hard, get up early, work out with Mikey. This is descriptive, not prescriptive, because there are families that do weekend tournaments super well. And your kid's sport might be a stewardship for you, and your kid might have an incredible ability, and you should spend the money to do it. You should spend the time, and for you guys, you love sitting in bleachers all day on Saturday and Sunday and whatever, you know, for that. That's not us. Like, we went to state, and we paid for the hotels, and we're like, people do this? Like, this is expensive. I don't know how you do it, right? But some of you will do it really well. And so I just want you to know that. This is us, okay? We're not trying to tell you what you should do. This is just prior. Marie made me do it. Like, choose. Marie Kondo, right? Got to throw something. So we had to decide. Okay, stuff to keep. Telling bedtime stories. Stuff to throw. More time on Instagram. Stuff to keep. Sabbath. Stuff to throw. Letha's expectations of me for that day. We had to have a conversation about this, right? We have these expectations of each other, and our day of rest is just like, whew. Like the expectation is that I can be as selfish as I want on that day and never serve her and never think. No, that's not the point. It's just that we just have this truce. Like we're just not gonna expect anything. Our expectation is, yeah, sure, we'll serve, but that project, that can wait. That thing, that can wait. We're resting from being productive, and we're just enjoying life, enjoying each other, enjoying our family. All right, stuff to keep. Our 2003 Honda Odyssey. Stuff to throw, the new Suburban we want. After we had our sixth child, we didn't have any vehicles that could fit our whole family. And so I took matters into my own hands and I went out and bought a Suburban. Sat eight people, had the three benches, you know, where you could sit. You could actually seat nine. You could sit three in the front, three, right? Because I'm like, we're doing this. And Letha's like, that's a terrible decision. I'm like, nope, we're going to get a safe, good, strong vehicle that can fit our whole family. Went out and bought this like pretty new, not brand new off the lot, but pretty new Suburban. I put so much money into that thing and finally sold it. And we got the old Odyssey, right? We're rocking this 2003 Odyssey and we are so happy. But that's what we can afford, right? So there's stuff that I want. I want that Suburban back, but can't have it. Had to choose. All right. Next one, stuff to keep. Florida vacation. Stuff to throw. All the reasons we can't afford it and don't have time for it. So the way this started, some of you guys have heard me tell this story. 2011, we just planted Veritas Church. The church was going awesome. Meeting in Hotel Vetro, God's bringing people. And we hit a really rough patch in our marriage, some personal health struggles, and things were not good on the home front. And I called my friend down in Florida and I'm like, hey, is there any way we can just come down? Leith and I just need some time. We went down to Florida, and this family, Joel and Marianne Goodman, so gracious to us, opened their home, let us stay there. And every day we woke up, we grabbed our two beach chairs, and we walked to the beach, and we sat there. And we just sat there. And as I was sitting on the beach, Sanibel Island, looking out on the ocean, reading my book, Unbroken, and Letha sitting next to me as the sun shining down on us, I felt like the Lord was telling me, Mark, you think that your wife's struggling, but I brought here because I want to get your attention. This is what you have not been doing for the last 11 years, almost 12 years of your marriage. And it took a rough patch for God to get my attention about how important a beach, some vitamin D, and a Florida trip was. I'm looking out at the Olsons. You guys were in our connection group at that time and just were such a blessing to us. It's never practical, is it, to do this kind of stuff? It's hard to get babysitters. It's hard to, you know what I mean? So that's, for us, what we had to do. Next one, stuff to keep. Epilepsy. Stuff to throw. Our expectations of freedom and feeling sorry for ourselves. This is about 5 years ago. One of our kids was staying overnight at a friend's house, and I get a call at 4:30 in the morning. Your child's having a seizure. And little did I know how much that was going to change our lives. We actually, since that time, haven't been back to Florida. It's hard to get away when you have a child that has a health condition that could happen anytime. And as a parent, you want to be there. Many of your lives have been disrupted in harder ways than ours. Because like, oh, we would take epilepsy because that comes and goes, but like our situation is constant all the time. Your life is hard, isn't it? Like you have stuff in your life that you didn't choose. Like you didn't choose that. It's one thing about the Suburban that you overpaid for and now you can't afford it. You chose that. This, you didn't choose that. But you got to keep it. And you got to let go of something when you have it. Next thing, stuff to keep, back rubs. Stuff to throw, expectation of back rubs. Next one, stuff to keep, remembering her birthday. That was a costly mistake 1 year. Stuff to throw, the memory of the forgotten one. How did it happen? It was her birthday. I don't know. It's still all kind of a blur to me. But I'm reminded of it every once in a while. And out of it came a great tradition, huh, babe? She's like, okay, we're never forgetting another birthday in this house. So we started the cinnamon roll tradition where everyone's birthday, it's like they get a cinnamon roll, everyone gathers, we walk it up, we put the candle in with all the gifts and notes and cards, and we bring it to them, cinnamon roll in bed. That's the birthday tradition that came out of me forgetting her birthday. So see, God works all things for the good. Don't you hate it? Oh man, see that? That's me, right? So spiritually minded, I'm of no earthly good, or so heavenly minded, right? That birthday one, that was a costly mistake. Next one, keep the garden and the water bill. Throw all my free time between spring and fall. Okay, I'm out last night, we're going to bed. It's starting to get freezing cold out there. I just get in bed and Letha's like, oh, I forgot to cover the lettuce. It's going to freeze tonight. Sweet. I'm on it. That garden, right? So that's you all have hobbies and stuff where you know, right? You know what that's like. Stuff to keep. Getting to know each other and daily walks. Stuff to throw. Date night. Now, that's a tough one. I think date nights are a great idea. You should totally do it. But don't let it crush you. Because there's times where it's like, well, I know if we're to have a good marriage, I'm supposed to, you know, get babysitters and do all this stuff. And you end up, sometimes it can be more stressful, but you're trying to keep up with everyone else who has a great marriage that does it. And we just had to like let go of that. Like, yeah, we're just not gonna have A+ date nights. And so we just stopped doing it. But you know what we started doing? Start going on walks. We found out different ways to connect because that's the point, right? The point is not a date night. The point is to connect. How do you connect? For us, it's like, okay, we're going on a walk. And it's been great. We do that all the time. Get home 4:30. It's like, let's go. Let's go on a walk. Or after dinner, let's go on a walk. All right. Stuff to keep. We're almost done. Stuff to keep. Bad sex. Stuff to throw. Ideal sex. Or no sex. And when I say bad, I mean maybe a better word to use there is disappointing. It was funny. I had this guy that we work with, Jeff and I, back at Cornerstone, and he had this calendar on his wall, and the calendar had hearts on different random days. And I was like, you know, one of my friends, I think it was Paul. It's like, what are those hearts? He's like, man, those are the days that my wife and I are going to have sex. He's like, you schedule it? And he's like, yeah, man, sex is like eating. You know, every night can't be steak dinner, but you got to eat, right? And I was like, maybe like marrying an organized, logistical, like administrative spouse is better than marrying like a passionate, you know, spouse. Like, hey, schedule it, get it on the calendar. I'm like, man, that was, and I was single at the time when Paul's like, dude, guess what I, you know. Like, that's weird. Now that I'm married, I'm like, I get it. You know, we don't do it, but I don't recommend that, but I totally get that, right? It's like, do you want to have sex? No. Do you? No. All right, we should probably have sex, right? Yeah, whatever it looks like. You're tired, right? You got kids, you're tired. Hey, those little kids, now you can put them down at 7. When they're teenagers, they're not going to bed, right? It's going to be like 3 or 4 in the morning that you're gonna have to set an alarm or something. If you want privacy, I'm just saying, it's always gonna be hard, right? So, whatever ideas you have of how much and how great and all, just like crumple that up, throw it in the trash, and just settle for just ordinary sex. And every once in a while, it'd be like steak dinner and wine. It'll be great. Keep, last two, keep vows. Stuff to throw. Ever saying the D word. Divorce. Like, that's just a word that will never be uttered in the Aaron household, even in the most passionate, angry moment. It's like, oof, don't say that word. Last one, stuff to keep. Jesus. Stuff to lose, stuff to throw, my life. Some of you, as I write that list down, some of you, and ever saying the D word, you're like, oh, not only did I say it, I did it. And here I am. Some of you have said it and not done it. Some of you guys know the argument you just had recently where you said it, like you're looking at this list. Maybe you're thinking about your own failures. It's bringing out some clutter in your life. And I want to end with this and just say, you guys, you have no idea how much Jesus loves you. And you've, like all of us, have made a mess of our lives and we've complicated it so much. But underneath, Jesus wants you to find him this morning. And remember him, that he loves you. And God's grace in your life is that God loves you and there's nothing you can do about it. There's no failure. Your righteousness is not your success as a wife or as a husband. It's God's success as your Savior and as your Lord. And in Revelation 2, where it says they lost their first love, that church in Ephesus that Jake talked about, they lost their first love. This morning, I just want to call you back to your first love, which is not your spouse. It's your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Guys, we lost our wedding ring in the midst of the chaos of kids and life, but so many people lose their marriages in the midst of the chaos of life. And this is the life-changing magic of tidying up your marriage. It's saying no to things so you can say yes to what really matters. And what's the one thing in your marriage that you can't lose? Each other. So what are the things in your life that you need to throw out so that you can get back to your relationship with your spouse? What are those things? And young people, I want to say to you, you guys are starting out, just be so careful with the things you add into your life, because once you start, there's no going back. Simplicity is always easier to maintain than it is to reclaim. And when you start in that, I watch families do it, and it's like our kids in this, our kids in that, our kids in, I'm like, okay, we'll see how that turns out. Just, you gotta be so careful with that, because that treadmill will never stop. And the point of this, the goal of this, is not to have a tidy house. The goal is to make sure the clutter is not keeping us from finding something very important. The Proverbs 14:4 says, "Where there are no oxen, the feeding trough is empty or the manger is clean, but an abundant harvest comes through the strength of an ox." If you're a farmer, the point is not to have a clean barn. If you have a house, the point is not to have a clean house. The point is to fill it with life and love and memories and children and relationships, right? But we do have to watch out for the clutter. I want to pray for us. Lord, I'm looking out on this amazing, awesome group of people that have given up a good part of their weekend and to be here because they want to honor you in their relationship, in their marriage. And Jesus, I thank you so much that you understand how hard it is. Like Hebrews 2:18 says, since he himself suffered, he's able to help those who are being tempted and who are struggling. You're a great high priest. You understand the struggles of our lives. And this morning, I'm just asking Jesus, our great high priest, that you would come and show us the things in our life that we need to throw out so that we can keep what really matters, Lord. I pray for these, especially these young families, Lord. Give them wisdom as they walk through this world and use them, God. And some of the things that we throw out that they keep, that you're going to use that to glorify your name, Lord. Just give each couple here wisdom. And most of all, grow our love and our passion for Jesus Christ, our first love, our Lord, our Savior. We pray in your name. Amen.